That's going to be problematic. I'm Jesse. I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to forget that that's there. I'm going to kick it over, and I'm going to look for my water later, so, like, it can be a group effort. Oh, Alex coming in clutch with the assist. It's, like, number one pigeon right there. It's my husband's sponsee, and, like, you know, just in case any of you wanted to know, like, how to get number one, because he'll tell me regularly, like, which of my pigeons are his favorite, depending on, like, how much they consider him in the day-to-day. You know, because, like, we just out here being selfish alcoholics, even though we're sober. It's kind of, like, part of my DNA. Anyway, so, yeah, I'm Jesse, I'm an alcoholic. I think I said that. My sobriety date's August 2nd, 2010. I have a home group. It is the Tuesday night Big Book Study at 3333. However, this meeting is incredibly near and dear to my heart, and after, like, much back and forth weirdness and talking to my sponsor and complaining about other meetings, I'm probably going to, like, return to the fold and, like, be, like, a real home group member again. What else? Oh, I sponsor others, yeah, for sure, and I have a sponsor who knows she's my sponsor. You know, we don't talk every day or anything like that, but, like, the second something new comes up, because I've been sober for a little while, I've learned how to, like, make some choices on my own. Like, I know when I should brush my teeth, shower, eat, go to work, but, like, the other things, like, you know, should I have this conversation with this person? And, you know, I have this thing coming up that, like, I feel like I'm supposed to attend, but I really want to go on this vacation instead. I call her for those things. Because at the end of the day, like I said, I'm still a selfish and self-centered alcoholic. Thank you, Ashley, for asking me. I adore the women that I sponsor. I sponsor a wide variety of different characters, and they all, you know, it makes me think of that scene in Bridesmaids where she's like, what a stone-cold pack of weirdos, you know? But, like, I get that because that's my people, you know? Like, I, even growing up, like, I never fit into any one particular group of people. I always had, like, different people around me, and the women that I sponsor, man, like, they've all got these varying different traits and different things that they struggle with. And most of them, like, they're things that I don't personally struggle with. But, like, what it's taught me is to have so much more grace and compassion. And to, like, watch these women grow up and become whole functioning AA members. Hey, Farah, will you do this really quick? I got you. You know, it's just such an honor to be part of somebody's journey like that. I love the celebrants meeting, but I also hate it because, like, I really love to talk about myself and I can get lost and not talk about sobriety or anything else like that. But I will tell you guys a quick little, like, thing about Ashley. So, like, when I first met her, when her and her husband moved here from Ohio, we were talking for, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks or whatever. And, you know, she asked me to sponsor her. And she said, you know, the reason that I knew you were the one for me was... I yawn every single time I say the Lord's Prayer in every meeting since I've been sober, and you seem to do that too. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not alone. Like, if I say it out loud, I'm yawning. So I'm sorry if, like, I start the wave of a yawn at a meeting you're at, but that's just what happens. If I, like, don't actually vocalize the words and I just mouth it, it doesn't happen. It's very weird. But, you know, like, that's one of the cool things about AA, right, is, like, we find our people here. You know, like, Alcoholics Anonymous is the only place I've met a woman who's like, you had accidental dreadlocks? I had accidental dreadlocks. You know, like, you say that in the normal world, and people are like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? You know, for years, I told people I was bohemian, and I, like, wore my hair up in this scarf, but, like, really, I was just, like, kind of a, you know, like, almost homeless adjacent kind of person, because I just didn't brush my hair for, like, a year and a half, and it was... I just had these, like, mats, like a dog that should have been groomed 3 years ago. It was one of those situations. But, yeah, so why do I come to AA, right? Because I'm an alcoholic. Why I'm an alcoholic is when I drink, I can't stop. And I used to struggle with the idea of, like, when I stop, I can't stay stopped, because I never stopped. Like, that was never on my radar as, like, something that A, should be investigated or attempted. You know, I was like... I'm 22. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. You know, I was 22 when I came to my first meeting with Alcoholics Anonymous. I was 23 by the time I realized that also smoking weed counts as not being sober. But, you know, I remember, like, coming to my first meeting, and I was just like, yeah, Yeah, 100%. I relate to everything they were talking about. I thought the chairperson was the president. I thought the woman speaking was like the CEO of AA. But what she was talking about, I related to, you know what I mean? And like I saw the people that like looked like they were super shiny and like had showered recently and their socks probably matched. And then they would talk about doing what I did and thinking how I thought and feeling how I felt. And you know, like you put me in a setting with like my family or a therapist or anybody else, and they're like, yeah, I'm gonna kind of relate to you and talk to you about how you're thinking and feeling. And like, I call bullshit, you know, but you put me here in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And even though those people looked like they had all of their shit together, I believed them. I believed that they knew what it was like to feel like I felt. And I remember I was like, I want it. Give me the Kool-Aid. I will drink all of it right now. And but I like was going to keep smoking weed because I'm obviously an alcoholic. I'm not a weedaholic. There's no problem with that. You know, and like the reality is like the very, very first time I drank, I was 15. Well, no, I don't know the first time I drank. Let's be real about that. But the first time that alcohol gave me what I would come to realize was a spiritual experience. I was 15 years old. It was Gasparilla. If you're not from here, Google it. But it was the first time I was allowed to go without my parents. My 16th birthday was the next weekend. And I'm very weird. I'm very afraid. Still today, you know, when I do AA, it's less so. But like my whole life prior to this moment, I remember like that scene in Talladega Nights where Ricky Bobby's like, the car handled real good. I don't know what to do with my hands. That is how I felt all day, every day. It was just like, I don't know what to do with my hands. You know, and I'm very weird. I'm very loud. I say the wrong thing all of the time. I was like still hitting boys that I liked at 15 because I just didn't know how to people. I had no idea that was what was wrong with me. Like, I don't know how to people. I missed the you know, the plug in to my programming or whatever when I was a kid, but I can't people well. And I say no to everything because I'm terrified of everything. And so I'm at Gasparilla. This kid comes up to me and he was like, hey, do you want to try this stuff that I have in my Camelback? And I'm like, absolutely. And I drank it and I drank it and I drank it. And he was like, whoa, stop. I meant like try, not have. And it was delightful. It tasted like pineapple juice. I loved it. And I've heard a lot of different people or a lot of different experiences with their very first time, like having the effect produced. And I mean, I was at this big old street party with a whole lot of people that I didn't know. And my whole life, like I said, like I'm so full of self-centered fear. I'm so terrified that like if you knew me, you really wouldn't like me. I never felt like I fit in with any group of people anywhere. My dad's Cuban, my mom's like ultra mega white. And so I was like, I never felt like I fit in with any of those people. But when I mean like 10 minutes after I drank that stuff, I was skipping down Bayshore. And there wasn't a question in my mind. There was not like, what is this magic? What has happened to me? I was like, this is because of that stuff I drank. This is amazing. I felt phenomenal. I'm a very small human currently. I was even smaller at 15. And it's not like it made me feel like I was taller or more Hispanic or more white or more, you know, prettier or funnier or smarter or better at math. I just didn't give a shit. You know, for the first time in my life, I was like, I can breathe. And I was amazing. I'm going to be honest. I was talking to everybody. I was hilarious. Everyone wanted to be my friend. At least that's how I remember it. You know, but it was a dumpster fire from day one. I blacked out. I broke a bunch of stuff. Apparently, I made out with my friend's 12-year-old brother. I, like, threw up in what's now the Starbucks in Hyde Park, but it used to be some weird other coffee shop. You know, and I got in hella trouble, and I was forced to do a whole lot of manual labor the very next day with my very first hangover ever. It sucked. And it was, like, consequent city immediately, you know, and what I knew was, like, all these people are telling me these stories about what I did. I also had this really ridiculous birthday party planned with these two other people, and that was canceled as well. So it's like, I'm being told what I did. I'm grounded. I have, you know, manual labor punishment. Other humans are also now impacted by my explorations into alcohol, and I just don't care. You know, I mean, like, at the time, I'd have been like, they're jealous. Everyone's jealous. I was amazing. I was the life of Gasparilla. You don't understand. And so I made it my mission. Like, I'm going to because the other thing that happened is when I realized, like, oh my God, I feel like the best possible version of myself, and it's because I drank that stuff, I was like, we can't lose this momentum. We got to get more. So I trespassed into every yard. I stole every bottle I could get my hands on, which is a big part of why I blacked out. And it was just a messy, messy thing. But like, that is how I drank until I got sober. The consequences got a little uglier. The blackouts happened more frequently. I didn't know I was blacking out. You know what I mean? Like, because I would always like change my people, or I would get different circumstances or different settings to find myself in. I remember I was in the, I like got my car stuck on 275 in the middle of the median, because I used to love to do U-turns on the interstate when I was drunk. It was a dumpster fire. Like I said, like not a cute drunk. But I was in this cab on the way home, and I'm telling the cab driver, like, I'm pretty sure that I have narcolepsy. Like, I think I'm falling asleep everywhere I go, because like I'm just losing chunks of time, and that's the only explanation, you know. But like, I come to AA, I'm like, oh shit, I was blacking out all the time. Cool, you know. But it just got darker, it got scarier, it got sadder. I would come to in situations I didn't know I had signed up for, in places I didn't know I had agreed to go. I was regularly becoming somebody that I knew I wasn't supposed to be. Like, I was raised by pretty decent people. I mean, my dad, like, it's debatable. Sometimes he could be a little bit narcissistic, but he means well, you know? And, like, my mom's all the way a crazy person. But again, like, they did the best they could with what they had. And I have two younger sisters that are, like, grade A normal fucking people. And, like, they had way more, like, exposure to trauma growing up than I did. So, like, even the idea that, like, oh, every 21-year-old does this, like, that didn't work. My sister is, like, they work in Miami in nightclubs and, like, don't get arrested, you know? And I'm, like, trying to beat every single charge that I came in here with. But yeah, so, like, it was ugly. It was uncomfortable. It hurt. And before I got sober, dude, like, drinking was my superpower. It's the only thing I thought I was actually good at. Because it was my security blanket. I heard somebody talk about alcoholism, or like alcohol rather, being like an abusive relationship. Like, it makes so much sense and everything is so great, but like, you know, it's bad for you. And I knew something was wrong, but like, you could have held a gun to my head and I'd have been like, it's not this. It's got nothing to do with this. It's my terrible choice in friends. It's the places I just happen to go. It's the drugs, or it's the police. They're out to get me, you know, and whatever it is. But I remember, you know, there were always these moments where I was like, Jess, this is not who you're supposed to be. Like, you're not supposed to be this guy. This is not what your parents wanted from you, or, you know, anybody. And then, like, you know, and it was usually, like, when I would wake up in jail having those conversations with myself. And then, you know, I'd get home, and it would be dark out, and I'd still have stuff left, so I would do it, whatever it was. But then in November of 2009 through, you know, nothing that wasn't happening regularly. You know what I mean? Like, my last drink wasn't this, like, you know, devastating upheaval turn of events. It was like another Friday, you know? But I ended up on the phone with the woman who would ultimately 12-step me, and she asked me if when I drink, do bad things happen? And in that moment, something answered for me, and I said yes. And she said, if I went to an AA meeting, would you go with me? Now, about a month before that, my dad and I were talking, and I think I was like, I'm just going to stay home and drink all the time by myself. And he said, then I want to see you in AA by the end of this week. And I think I told him to go fuck himself, and there we were. So when this woman proposes the idea of attending an AA meeting with me again, I said yes, you know, and had, like, those questions been proposed to me an hour before, an hour later, I would have been like, nah, man, I'm 22. Things are great. Because I would tell myself things like that. I would say, like, well, if I was still at FSU, everybody would be doing like this. You know, if I was still in this place or with that place, I was so great at rationalizing things. And so I went, you know, and like I said, I came here and I was like, yes, sign me all the way up. And I came home and I said, so I'm definitely absolutely positively an alcoholic, but I'm probably going to keep smoking weed. And she said, cool, keep going to the things. And I also said, if they try to tell me about God or tell me what to do, I'm out. And thank God I don't listen to myself anymore. Because if you are new, I apologize. Alcoholics Anonymous will help you develop a relationship with God. It sounds real cringe, but today it is the foundation of every aspect of my life that is anywhere near positive, you know? And I'm not good at running my own life. I mean, see me afterwards and I'll tell you more stories about how I dumpster fired shit regularly before I got sober and occasionally in sobriety because, again, I am not good at making choices on my own. But, so, you know, I went to AA, I smoked the weed, I told no one. And I worked steps, and I had sponsors, and I had sponsees, and I had a home group, and I couldn't figure out what was missing. You know, I would watch my now husband have this incredible relationship with his sponsor, and I would just be like, why don't I feel like that, you know? And then this little voice would be like, maybe it's because you smoked weed for a long time. Because at like 9 months sober, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop because this is very disrespectful to my AA friends. They're very honest, and this is inappropriate and inexcusable for them. So I just like stopped smoking weed. But, like, I'm not going to tell anybody about it, you know? And I would be at meetings and people would talk about marijuana maintenance. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. That's stupid. And then I'd have a sponsor that would say things like, your secrets keep you sick. And I would, you know, somewhere deep down, I'd be like, that makes me uncomfortable. But I would just be like, shut up. You know, like I was like regularly flicking Jiminy Cricket away from me because after a while, I kind of like set out on this mission to prove that I don't actually experience spiritual consequences. And if you have been sober for any amount of time and you do some like not sober shit, you feel some type of way on the inside. And if you don't know, those are spiritual consequences. It's this like of your soul. And I was having wicked inappropriate conversations with people who were not my boyfriend. I was trying to fight people I was not even resentful at outside of this meeting when we were at the old church. I was stealing from work. I was just doing all this not sober shit at like 3 years sober. You know, I like to call it my fake sober because I picked up 3 years twice. But after a while, like God is always on time. You know what I mean? Like I came into AA with this experience of like God and I are like neighbors, but we're not friends. Like I'm not so full of myself that like I think there's nothing out there, but like I was super disinterested in any type of like concept of God or even like choose your own adventure version of God. Like nah, I was not for that. But, you know, like the longer I stay sober, the more I can see where those things are showing up. Those coincidences aren't really coincidences. And, you know, at some point in 2010, it was like 5 a.m. and I was arguing with my now husband about something. And I was just like, I think I need to change my sobriety date. You know, I was so uncomfortable because like my fear, my ego, all this stuff that like had told me I was going to like get kicked out of AA or I was going to lose. Like, I don't know what it is about alcoholics, but like we are regularly like comparing how good I look or feel in AA. And like, this is a room of people who are not good at doing life well on their own. You know, like on our best day, we're like maybe not making shit worse, you know, but I was so worried. I was like, you know, they're going to kick me out. They're going to take my fucking card. And like none of that's real. That's all me. That's all ego. That's all bullshit. But, you know, and so I told my sponsor and she was like, you're going to help so many people with this. And I was like, I'm going to punch you in the face. And it's wild though, right? Because like, AA gives us these unique experiences that uniquely qualify us to help where no one else can. But like you come into AA, you get involved, you get in the middle, and you start to see, like, I really hate the idea that the ninth step promises are like the promises, but this idea that like I don't regret my past, like that has come true for me. You know, like I never ever don't see something that I've walked through, whether it was before I got sober or in sobriety, and it's not useful to somebody else. Like I don't necessarily get to know when it's going to be useful or how. My job, my responsibility is to stay here and keep showing up and keep doing the things so that I can be present when it's ready to be useful. You know, and so I got honest and I had all these people like, and it wasn't that they just crawled out of the woodwork all of a sudden. God wasn't like, oh, good job, you got honest. Boop, here's some people to be helpful towards. But I now saw things differently. My entire relationship with the world around me changed. I had been running around AA, like ineffectively sponsoring women for a very long time. And everything changed at that point, you know. And what I realize is that that was at the time, in my sobriety, that was the scariest, most uncomfortable thing I had ever walked through. And I walked through it. I didn't catch on fire. I didn't die. I didn't explode. I didn't get struck drunk. And it then became something else that I had experience with that I could share and transmit to another woman. And everything after that, you know, every scary, uncomfortable, awful thing that has happened, I've been able to like now have this track record of these awful things that I've walked through. And some of them are things that I did. Some of them, like I said, I am a people. I am not good at peopling regularly to this day. I do things that are self-centered and self-seeking all the time. But like when I'm able to rectify them, to walk through them, I now have like this list of things where the next scary thing that comes up comes down the pipeline at me in life, I get to go, okay, well, like God and I walked through this, we walked through this, we walked through this. Why do I think I'm not going to be able to walk through fill in the blank, you know? And but like I don't maintain that perspective if I'm not here, if I'm not in the middle, if I'm not inconveniencing myself for Alcoholics Anonymous. Cuz there have been plenty of times where I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to take a sabbatical for a while. Like, I just don't feel like going to meetings. It's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. Like, I have this really great life that AA gave me. But I think it deserves my full, undivided attention right now. And, you know, like, really what happens when I'm not going to AA is, like, I'm watching Netflix on the couch on my phone with the TV turned off. Like, that's what I'm working with, you know? And, but I'll convince myself, like, I don't need to be here, or I don't have the time, or, like, my favorite is, like, oh, I'll call that person later, because, like, God forbid I hit the pause button on the streaming service that's on my television or phone. But the life that I live today, like I have all these things, right? I have an incredible relationship with my husband. My family respects me. That's weird, because, like, I was the one calling everybody from jail at, like, 5 in the morning all the time, but I have a career that I'm passionate about and I'm proud of. I have like all these tangible things that are super great. But like the biggest thing for me, and I was talking with one of my girls about this the other day, is like being able to like bear witness to someone else's growth and transformation. Like when I sit and hear someone else's fifth step and I get to tell them all those things that I thought were never, ever going to be useful, helpful, or beneficial, the things I was so uncomfortable when I first got sober to even think about, and like being able to see them get scared and not want to talk about those things and tell them. And then the other end of that is like when my sponsees get to like walk through this life with other women, and to be a part of that is like, there are not enough adjectives in the world to describe it. You know, it's one of those things that like, I can tell you how great and how important it is to have a relationship with God, but like, no, you won't believe it until you have it. You know, it's one of those things where like, we believe it because we lived it and we did it. And I mean, most of you, I'm sure, don't think I'm full of shit, but it's those things that like you just gotta stay here and you just gotta do it so that you can experience it. Because it's a life that is truly second to none. And because of what I've been given in AA, and it wasn't that like, you know, I just became this virtuous good person. Like when I was new, when I was struggling, my sponsor helped me out. My sponsors always taught me that AA shows up no matter what. So when I have, you know, whether it's a sponsee or a friend or anybody who's going through something, like my life is situated in a way that like my husband and I open our home up to Alcoholics Anonymous at any moment because we can, you know, it's that like pay it forward kind of mentality. And if I'm not willing to do that, I know that like I won't be deserving of any of these things that I have. You know, and like today was a real fucking weird day. I got very sick first thing this morning, and then I haven't eaten at all today. So like I have no idea what I'm actually saying because I'm pretty sure my blood sugar is like negative right now. But what AA has done for me is that, like, how easy would it be for me to, like, call in sick tonight? How easy would it be for me to have rescheduled my entire clientele, my client list today? Like, all these things and all these reasons that, like, they make sense. They're rational. They're justifiable. But, like, AA has taught me how to walk through that, look through that, and, like, realistically remove myself from it and see what I'm able to, like, what's my purpose today? You know what I mean? Like, I actually have a purpose today, and I didn't when I got here. I didn't have any direction, any purpose, anything to give to anybody, let alone, you know, be able to, like, show up and help in any capacity. There was a point to that, but I've completely lost it because, again, I shouldn't be doing any kind of complex equations or driving right now. But AA taught me to suit up and show up. AA gave me the life that I have today. So when I'm asked to do anything, I say, yes, I do it. A very good friend of mine always says that I'm not any type of expert or authority on Alcoholics Anonymous or alcoholism. I am simply just an example that it works. So if anything I said bothered you or offended you, you should probably go talk to somebody about it and keep going to more meetings, because there's so many different personalities and experiences here that if you haven't heard what you need to hear to like stick and stay and do the work, just wait until you do. Thank you, the end.